The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. So I recently accused leftists of totally sucking at labeling. But to give due credit, there was one major exception to that rule, and it was Occupy Wall Street that came up with it. That label being the 99% versus the 1%. That was a stroke of frigging genius. That was a stroke of genius, even though the numbers themselves are actually highly inaccurate. I sometimes refer to the 99.9% and the 0.1% to make that point. But even my numbers seriously deflate the actual facts, which are these. I figure there are very roughly around 150,000 people who are actually responsible for the maintenance of the status quo. They do have a lot of help, many billions in their direct employ, in fact. And most of the actual dirty deeds are done dirt cheap by paid lackeys, rather than by actual influencers. So all of those other people are merely enablers rather than actual influencers, and thus they would be neutered should their patrons themselves ever be neutralized. Now, this category of lackey also includes virtually all of the elected officials in the federal government of the United States, up to and including the president, and up to and including every president we've ever had, to one extent or another. Anyway, what all that means is that the actual battle here is between the 99.99998% and the 0.00002%. Yes, not as catchy as the 99%, but the odds are still in our favor. Yippee. Hey, kids. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 15th, 2020. We're going to start off this week's show by looking evil in the eye. And then we're going to kick its ass.
Party's over. Shut it down. I'm hunting for someone, y'all. He's a lion, thieving rattlesnake, and he's broken every law. He's terrorized the lives of men, and he's under arrest because I've been sent with a warrant from the body of Christ.
What's happening? Why is there?
Satan, bite the dust.
Gee. Sound like anybody you know? Anyway, as far as lesser evils go, every time Donald Trump opens his frigging mouth, he proves that he's even more of a moron than you already thought that he was. Which is an incredibly low bar to begin with. Yet his approval ratings continue to remain steady. Internally ingesting Lysol. Dude. Really? Now that I think about it, though, maybe the human race would be better off if everyone stupid enough to go mainline Lysol because Donald Trump said that they should, actually went out and did so. After all, it would indeed kill the coronavirus. But seriously, how can someone that stupid manage to even stay alive, much less become the frigging president of the United States? Huh?
Breaking news from the final edition. Researchers have discovered that America is actually dumber than scientists previously thought possible. Jan Mayfield has that story.
Newly discovered evidence indicates that America is capable of a level of dumbness that scientists previously believed would be fatal. Researchers Clark Masters and Norm Kaufman.
You know how turkeys will look up at the rain and then drown if you don't push their heads back down? Yeah, like that.
Kaufman also crunched the numbers and found something surprising.
Well, it turns out if you average out the IQs of all Americans, we're legally retarded.
Retarded.
Developmentally disabled, sorry. Which explains a lot, actually, why we have guardrails everywhere, that we've all got to wear helmets for everything now, how much of our food comes in nugget form so you can eat it without sharp utensils, that authorities have to watch us all the time, that we're all on medication. It all adds up.
This is Jan Mayfield for the final edition.
And as far as the greater evil goes, one of several dozen things that totally creep me out about Jeff frigging Bezos is that the dude literally looks like a frigging evil psychopath.
Every one of you unclean spirits, I'm running you out of town. Depression, strife, disease, and fear, your posse's going down.
Oh, last dinner for the dog, Batman. We sent him over the box.
But I know who I am through Jesus Christ, so I talk to you demons like dogs. Satan, you coward, you molester of souls, I command you to appear. You're hiding from the presence of God, but I can feel your fear from here.
You ran on my G-boy long enough, you got something in your craw.
A praying church wants you to know.
No way.
Your kingdom's gonna fall.
There's gonna be trouble here tonight.
And as far as the allegedly lesser evil goes, I really wish people would get it that the Democrats and the Republicans all work for the same slave masters. Nancy Pelosi approved of and signed the Rump's new NAFTA bill. She approved of and signed the Rump's new Patriot Act. She approved of and signed the biggest military budget in human history. and she contemptuously laughed at the very idea of Medicare for all. And she did all of this under the cover of the distraction provided by her trumped-up impeachment proceedings, wherein she charged the rump with some minor bullshit whilst completely ignoring the many and heinous actual crimes and actual impeachable offenses that the rump has actually committed and is still committing. So rather than acting in opposition to the rump, it seems to me that the Democrats are acting as enablers for the rump.
I used to meet women by calling them b****s on the internet comment threads, but the women I meant were always b****s. Then I found OK Stupid. OK Stupid is the matchmaking service for people who aren't that bright and want to start a family.
I was tired of drinking and vomiting and waking up to a guy posting pictures of my t*** on Twitter, so I went on OK Stupid and posted pictures of my t*** while I vomited. That's how I met Daryl.
At OK Stupid, our detailed questionnaire determines your misguided beliefs, racist opinions, and poor critical thinking. Then we match you with someone who'll probably turn abusive out of sheer inability to communicate.
Ever since meeting on OK Stupid, my old lady and I have been drinking every night and getting into fights. But she'll change.
Daryl and I have been together for almost 2 years. He'd be here now, except he's married, which isn't really a problem.
It's OK to be stupid on OK Stupid.
And now that Bernie Sanders has proven that in spite of everyone's hopes and dreams, including a few of my own, Mr. Sanders has instead emerged as a frigging sheepdog for the Democratic Party.
Now, Satan, you're next in line. I'm gonna hit you where it hurts, 'cause I'm tired of you and my family, and I'm tired of you and my church. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled man, and I'm tolling the bell of your eternal destruction across the land. I've got a weapon with two bullets that overcome all sin and crud. One bullet is called the word of my testimony, and the other one's called the blood. Satan, bite the dust.
Sanders gave Biden,
bite the dust,
a complete pass during the debate. And then he not only drops out of the race.
Well, how do you feel about that, devil?
Before he needs to.
Good.
But he immediately endorses Biden without any publicly announced concessions or promises from Mr. Biden for doing so. And even the squad, the day after the passage of that atrocious aid bill, the squad were sending out fundraising letters touting the few crumbs that working people will receive in this bill. And while they have bemoaned the massive giveaway to Wall Street, they did not block Nancy Pelosi from passing this so-called aid bill. And plus, they passed this aid bill with a frigging voice vote, meaning that no one knows how anyone voted. Now the squad blamed Senate Republicans, but this whole charade was almost completely bipartisan. The Senate vote was 96-0. The only objection to this sham came from a frigging House Republican, Thomas Massie, M-A-S-S-I-E, of Kentucky, who vociferously objected to passage of the House bill with a voice vote. But he was immediately shut down when he did so. To her credit, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez voted against the second aid bill, which was just as bad as the first one was. But Ms. Ocasio-Cortez was the only House Democrat to vote against it. Right now, we don't need equivocators. We need somebody to kick some ass.
And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. Satan! Bite the dust.
Another thing that change agents must always be aware of is unintentional evils. The U.S. Supreme Court is about to rule on Louisiana's and Oregon's laws that permit criminal convictions without a unanimous jury verdict. Now, all 48 of the other states and the federal courts all require a unanimous jury verdict in order to either convict or to acquit anyone. But here's the thing. These laws were put in specifically to neuter black jurists after the Supreme Court ruled that states could not exclude blacks from jury duty. Now, in the case of Louisiana, they had a special constitutional convention to pass this law, and their stated goal was just that. Now, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, of all people, stated this disenfranchisement of black voters in Louisiana as a fact in the courtroom. And, seemingly out of character, Neil Gorsuch is one of the justices that support overturning this precedent. Now, nullifying these laws would indeed be a very good thing, if that's for all that it was. But here is the other thing about that. Nullifying Louisiana's and Oregon's laws would overturn a 1972 Supreme Court precedent stating that non-unanimous jury convictions were perfectly cool. And what that means is that if they overturn this ruling, then that goes contrary to a legal concept called stare decisis, which concept states that current Supreme Court justices should respect the rulings of previous Supreme Court justices, and they should only overturn previous rulings in the most egregious of circumstances. Now, in this case of whether unanimous juries should be required for a conviction, the concept of stare decisis has created a couple of conundrums for a couple of the justices. On the one hand, Justice Elena Kagan is one of the leading defenders of stare decisis. But on the other hand, those non-unanimous jury laws are so odious that eliminating them seems apparent. Yet at the same time, one of the possible reasons that Justice Gorsuch is so enthusiastically and uncharacteristically in favor of overturning the non-unanimous jury precedent is because if they overrule stare decisis in that case, then that would pave the way to overruling stare decisis in other cases as well, such as the Roe v. Wade decision, for instance. Be careful what you wish for. So, moving along now, during the reign of George W. Bush, Secretary of Defense,
don't wanna be the one to pop your cherry, girl,
Donald Rumsfeld announced that he was declaring war, not on some foreign power, but upon the Pentagon. Secretary Rumsfeld made this shocking announcement that $2.3 trillion, with a T, was missing and unaccounted for in the Pentagon budget. And Rumsfeld wanted an answer. Now, to put $2.3 trillion into scale, consider that 1 billion seconds is a little over 11 days, while 2.3 trillion seconds would be just under 73,500 years. Again, 1 million is 11 days, 2.3 trillion is 73,500 years. So what that means is that even a small fraction of the money that is missing at the Pentagon could have easily paid for Medicare for all for the whole freaking world. Not to mention things like education and infrastructure and hospitals and all the other things that allow us to create lives that are worth living. However, Donald Rumsfeld announced his war on the Pentagon on September 10th, 2001. And the next day was September 11th, 2001. And after September 11th, 2001, rather than facing financial scrutiny, the military instead began receiving blank checks. That continued until 2018, when Congress finally ordered an independent audit of the Department of Defense. Something that, amazingly, has still never happened.
Now this stat would seem elementary, since the Pentagon receives 54% of every dollar that the feds discretionarily spend. This makes the DOD the government's largest discretionary cost, and yet this audit came only after the Pentagon failed to audit itself for decades. However, the congressionally ordered audit also did not happen. The private firms that were hired to audit the Pentagon announced that they were unable to complete the job due to the fact that the DOD's financial records were so riddled with so many irregularities, bookkeeping shenanigans, and gross errors that anything even remotely resembling a reliable audit was simply an impossible task. There are still hundreds of billions of dollars disappearing into the Pentagon's black hole every year, and no one is keeping track of any of that money, nor is anyone being held accountable for any of that or anything else for that matter. Again, we are talking about multiple trillions of dollars here. We are talking about enough money to pay for almost everything in the whole damned world. We're going to take a station break now. The Thunderbolts will be back in just a minute.
The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
It will surprise no one familiar with the surveillance machine that those busy little bees are taking advantage of crisis by shifting their operations into overdrive. All kinds of methods of tracking people through cell phones was already happening, and intrusions into every aspect of people's personal lives was already becoming ubiquitous even before the pandemic arrived. And now, they're going for it all. They are implementing a wide variety of highly intrusive and unconstitutional measures to deal with this crisis. And warnings from several fronts are already stating that once these measures are implemented, then they will be very hard to scale back when the crisis is over. For instance, two American police departments have announced plans to deploy drones to enforce social distancing, including patrolling people in their own backyards. Yes, kids, pandemic drones have arrived. And get this, a little more than half of Americans now back anonymous government smartphone tracking. And a Canadian company has announced development of a device that can measure people's temperature and heart rate from a drone. And they claim they can also detect people coughing from a drone and then zoom in on them. In China, drones with speakers are flying around admonishing people for not wearing masks. And so it begins.
So a few weeks ago, several hundred right-wingers who were armed to the teeth surrounded the Washington State Capitol. Others across the country also surrounded.
Where's your mommy? Where's she going?
Several other state capitals as well. They're responding. To the Rump's call to free their states from the oppressive health measures being taken to deal with COVID-19. They were very blatantly and contemptuously ignoring all of the pandemic protocols, and they were daring anyone to try to do anything about it. But no one did. Our president, in fact, egged them on and encouraged them. On the one hand, the fact these were right-wingers who were advocating for bad things is problematic. On the other hand, I often think of Richard Nixon sitting in the Oval Office in utter terror and noting to Henry Kissinger that if the hundreds of thousands of thoroughly pissed off war protesters that were surrounding the White House at the time, Richard Nixon noted that if those protesters decided to come and get us, then there would be absolutely nothing that anyone would be able to do about it. Now, to my way of thinking, that moment in history represented a thoroughly appropriate state of mind for Richard Nixon to be in. I think that any politician's top priority when making decisions should always be that very question. What if they come to get me? Now, while I personally strictly adhere to the tenets of nonviolent civil disobedience, I do not do that because I am an ideological pacifist. Because frankly, I am not. I do it because it adds moral credibility and because it works better than any other way known. Black flaggers, regardless. However, I must confess that at heart, I am of the torch and pitchfork school. A political action. Governments should fear their people, not the other way around. And I would suggest that normalizing large groups of armed people threatening government officials is a highly positive development. The fact that it is a bunch of freaking Nazis that are doing it right now is admittedly problematic. But I think the best counter to that would be for our side to start doing it as well. Since I abhor gun control laws, I hesitate to provide gratis advice to the advocates, but if you really want to see some serious gun control laws sail through the legislative process, then I would suggest having hundreds of armed blacks and Hispanics go surround a few state capitals around the country and then see what happens. I think our president would prove far less enthusiastic about supporting them. So for the final Thunderbolt this week, I'm going to redo a piece that I first broadcast several years ago called Why Everyone in the World Should Give Me Money. But now I am redoing that piece, and now I am calling it Why Everyone in the World Should Give Me Money, and exactly how you can do that. For you see, a while back, I figured out that if everyone in the world started giving me money, then very soon I would have enough money for myself, and then I could start giving money to other people who need money, and then pretty soon after that, everyone in the world would have enough money, and all of our current economic problems concerning the insane levels of economic disparity would be solved. So therefore, if everyone started giving me money, then we could save the world. And so therefore, furthermore, as a public service, we have recently opened a Patreon account so that everyone can start easily giving me money. I know. How thoughtful of me. Now, just go to patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Yes, kids, here's your golden opportunity to get ahead of the curve and start giving me money now so that you can avoid the big rush later. Seriously, though, while my Social Security retirement thing is so far providing me with all of life's necessities except rent, it barely does so. And so, if you like what I do, and if you have a few dollars that you can spare, then please consider helping to support my ability to continue thunderbolting evildoers without disabling financial distractions. After all, if I don't do it, then who will? That was a rhetorical question. Now, it's time to get to work. All right, relax with some music now. This is Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Punch Drunk. Before that, we had Stomping Grounds, and we started off with Sinister Minister, all from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's DANA98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.